Welcome to Health Matters Today. I'm Courtney Allison, a senior editor in New York Presbyterian's Office of Communications. For more than a year now, we've been masking, limiting our activities, and seeing friends mostly through Zoom. Now, with more people getting vaccinated, restrictions loosening, and an end to the pandemic hopefully within sight, we're all breathing a collective sigh of relief. But many of us are also feeling a measure of anxiety about returning to the way things were. So, why are we so unsure about our reentry into society? For help through this return to normal, and to explain why we might be feeling some trepidation, we've turned to Dr. Avital Falk, Program Director of the Intensive Treatment Program for OCD and Anxiety at New York Presbyterian. Welcome, Dr. Falk. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, selfishly, I'm really excited to be having this conversation today. Obviously, I'm very relieved that things are hopefully improving, but I was riding the subway this morning and it was awfully crowded and people are inviting me to do things that I don't want to do. Are you hearing this concern from others?
Absolutely. I'm hearing it all around. And in fact, it seems like it isn't new. From the beginning of the pandemic, I think people had almost the opposite problem, that they were feeling angst and worry about how do I assert myself to say I don't want to do things or things feel unsafe. Now people, I think, do want to do things, but still aren't sure what's safe. So this, it feels like an evolving issue and kind of the tides are turning, but it's been something I think people have been grappling with for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But it does make a lot of sense to be feeling anxious. We've been trained for over a year now that many of these activities are dangerous. And so our bodies and brains are really trained to react in a certain way when we're facing social situations, whether it's the subway, like you mentioned, being invited to a larger gathering, even just gathering indoors, those things have been so ingrained as dangerous activities. It makes sense that we're having a reaction emotionally when we're faced with those activities. And it takes some time to adjust or to decide what feels right and safe.
Is there a way to condition our brains to try to get more used to it, that there's still some risk out there, but it is safer now?
Yeah. So when we treat anxiety here at New York Presbyterian, and this is really broadly one of the evidence-based treatments for anxiety, we use cognitive behavioral therapy. And the core element of what we're doing is something called exposure, which is facing fears, especially once we've determined that there's no true danger. And so if there is no actual danger, then we encourage facing that fear. And the more you practice something, the easier it becomes. So when you ask about if there's a way to condition our brains, I would say we probably want to take a two-step process. So first, you want to determine what actually feels safe for you and for your family. Some people are following the CDC, and that's going to be their boundaries. Mm-hmm. If there's a trusted data source that you have, you certainly can do that. I think it is a little bit confusing how to figure that out. But the more that you can figure it out, have conversations with people in your immediate bubble or pod or however you're referring to it, the better you'll feel equipped to face things and kind of know where you stand. If, of course, you determine that something truly is not within the realm that you're comfortable with based on that logic, and it's not simply a fear or emotional reaction, then, of course, you might want to set some of those boundaries about what you are and aren't comfortable with.
I'm just wondering if you can elaborate on why do you think people are feeling nervous about this change instead of fully embracing a return to the pre-pandemic days?
Yeah, so I think a couple reasons. So one of them is something that I mentioned before, that we're just used to it. So we've been just trained by our practices and the messaging that we've been getting for over a year now that these activities are dangerous. And it's really hard to just suddenly snap your fingers and change that mindset. So we are having a very emotional reaction to things, even though the circumstances may have changed because of vaccines or because things are getting slightly safer. I think the other reason is it may have raised our alertness or just our kind of radar to certain things that we may not have paid as much attention to before. So, for example, if you're someone who doesn't really think all too much about germs and sickness and going places, that just might not have been on your mind before, but it's on your mind now because it's been on everybody's minds for so long. And so you're kind of hyper aware of certain areas and certain things that you may not have been before. And this could be a blessing and a curse. So I think if it has brought you up to a level that you actually are comfortable with and it makes you feel like you're just more of an aware person about some of these things, then that might be a good thing and you might want to take certain things into account. But if you're finding that you're really going overboard and you're feeling anxious about things, even though you logically know that there's no real reason to be anxious about it, or it's such a minimal risk that it's not worth avoiding, then we do want to kind of retrain the way we're thinking about those things.
Do you have any specific tips about overcoming anxiety about reentry?
Sure.
Whether it's riding the subway or maybe beginning to socialize with people again?
I think that depends a little bit on the person. So for some people, they might be able to say, you know what? I've figured out what my logical guidelines are. I'm going to jump right in and follow them 100%. And they really may be able to jump in and just start following them. Even if they feel a little bit of fear or anxiety, they can fairly quickly overcome that and plunge right into the lifestyle that they feel logically comfortable with. For other people, that may be more difficult. And for those people, I would say, absolutely take baby steps. Make a plan for yourself. Say, this week, you know, I will go to a gathering, but I'm not ready to take the subway. Next week, I'm going to try taking the subway during off hours.
Right.
The next week, I'm going to try going for my commute. So you can absolutely build up your strength and confidence to make sure that your practices match the guidelines that you've decided are appropriate.
Thinking about some real-world scenarios in which you might not feel as comfortable saying no, like a family wedding, going back to the office, or a work commitment, how do you navigate that when you maybe feel like you're in a little bit of a bind?
Yeah, I think that as we think about real-world scenarios and being asked to do certain things like return to work or go to social gatherings, there may be things that we're not comfortable with, and everybody has different personal circumstances. So like we talked about before, you have to consider what your personal life circumstances are, whether you have high-risk family members, whether you yourself are high-risk,
yeah.
Who in your home may not have been vaccinated for various reasons. You might have children who are unvaccinated. And so figuring out what your guidelines are and then asserting yourself is going to be a really, really important skill. And so you certainly want to do this politely, but you might have to say, you know, I can't come to this event, or I can't bring my children to this event. Would it be okay if I came alone? Or would it be okay if I wore a mask while I'm there? Or is there a part of the gathering that might be outside? For return to work, I think that many workplaces are opening gradually, which might be helpful, and you might be able to set a schedule that works for you. For other people, that may not be the case, and it may take a couple conversations to figure out what is safe and what works best for your family as well as for the workplace. But I guess the message I would send is that you may have to practice asserting yourself and figuring out where your own personal boundaries are, as well as how you can communicate that to others in a way that still feels polite, welcoming, and yet allows you to do what you need to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too. I forget that in life. Sometimes I think it's all or nothing. Either you're going or you're not. But you could express things like, well, maybe my kids won't come, or I'm going to wear a mask. So you feel comfortable and finding that middle ground. How can you reduce anxiety when dealing with this?
Well, yes. And I also just want to validate that that is anxiety provoking. It's very, very difficult to say no to something or to disagree with somebody. And I think that's a skill in and of itself, learning how to assert yourself for what you're comfortable with and where your boundaries are. And it may take practice. You can role play with family members. There's different things that you can do to really try to increase your comfort with that. But I do think it's going to be an important piece of our transition back as everybody goes at a slightly different pace. And like I said, everybody has different personal circumstances.
Yeah, this is another one that came up for me too. I was talking to my boss in person, I guess it was a couple of months ago, And she and I are close, but we just hadn't talked in a while. And I was trying to tell a story and I just lost my train of thought and ended up like, Sharon, I don't know how to speak anymore. And we were laughing. But as we do start going to social gatherings where a lot of us have really only communicated with our bubble or seen people over Zoom, I don't know if you have any tips on just getting comfortable interacting again with people.
So I think the good news is you're in good company, and we're all in good company in that sense. I've seen numerous cartoons and memes and things like that, kind of joking about this exact scenario where you're feeling socially rusty. And I think just like it takes practice to overcome fear, it takes practice to just get back in the groove on a social level. So I think remind yourself that you're in good company, that probably everybody is feeling the same way, and it can be actually something to laugh about. And the more you do it, though, the better it will feel and the more comfortable you'll become.
Well, I think, like you said before, just practicing and exposure therapy, and maybe we'll just figure this thing out. So moving on, and I always want to be careful when I talk about the silver linings of this experience, because I don't want to dismiss the real tragedy or the loss. And I'm fortunate I haven't been directly impacted by loss from COVID this year. There's just been a lot of good things that have come of this. I would just say, I guess I didn't realize how much I liked not leaving the house or just doing yoga before work and not spreading myself so thin.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this year I've really learned to prioritize only what's important to me, because you could cut away at the rest of life. And I'm wondering if there's a way to keep some of those values that we might have embraced or lessons that we've learned, whether it's conserving our energy or really only seeing the people in life that are important to us.
Absolutely. And I agree with you that there has been incredible, incredible loss this year. I think that both can be true. There can have been incredible loss and tragedy, and you may have learned things about yourself or your values or what works for you that you can carry forward, and one doesn't have to negate the other. And so if there are things that you have learned about yourself, that's wonderful. And you absolutely can carry those things forward. So for example, if you found you've been better able to define your values or the people who are really important to you, absolutely continue with that and make sure to spend time with the people that you really want to spend time with and who are important to you, and make those people and things priorities. And similarly, if there are things for self-care that you know and have learned that you need to do for yourself, or for some people find that there are certain things for self-care that they've been very much lacking throughout the pandemic, whether it's because of lack of childcare or job loss or actual loss of family members, then trying to build those things into your life because you've realized what you've been missing can be really important too. So if there are things that you've learned about yourself, your values, and what your needs are during the pandemic that you can continue to fulfill once this is all over, that's incredible. And I think it shows growth and a learning experience that if you can carry forward is great for you. But I would say that what we might have learned is to just be more thoughtful about those things and not to just give an automatic yes to everything, and instead to be thoughtful about our own needs, what our values are, what we're sacrificing every time we do something, what we're sacrificing every time we don't do something, and to be able to make more thoughtful and informed decisions.
And that leads me into my next question. Another friend I saw recently observed that she just doesn't really feel like she has the energy for a lot of things, especially after everything that's happened this year, that she can't really handle more than one thing a day.
Sure.
So just wondering if you have any specific tips about that.
Sure. This has been an incredibly challenging year, like you just said, and quite a traumatic year for a lot of people. And they're still dealing with losses and the aftermath of what has happened and what may still be happening for a lot of people. So if that is you and there are adjustments that you need to make in order to maintain your well-being, I think that that's important. And to recognize that just because things might be technically safer in terms of an activity or a gathering doesn't mean that you have yet healed from things that have gone on, and you may need to take some time to process, to heal, to recover, and that's not on anybody else's timeline. And so if figuring out what is good for you beyond kind of CDC guidelines or safety. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about kind of not exerting yourself too much if you're still feeling overwhelmed, you're still healing, you're still processing. That's important too from a totally different perspective. And I think people need to give themselves the space to do so.
That's really great advice. Is there any last piece of advice you'd want to leave listeners with?
Sure. I guess kind of just thinking back to what we've talked about, the message I'd want to send is don't let your anxiety or fear dictate your life. So of course, we certainly want to listen to our emotions. They give us important clues about what might be going on. And so if our fears or anxieties are the result of a true danger or threat, of course, we do want to pay attention to that and listen. But if you do find that your anxiety is at odds with what feels logically to be true, and it feels excessive compared to what you know to be true, that's the time when it's really important to practice facing fears. And whether you take the plunge or take some baby steps to get there, to face those fears over and over. And the more you practice, the easier it will become. And then for anybody who finds that their fears or anxieties are just overwhelming, crippling, debilitating, if that's the case, that might be a good indicator that you can get some help. And it might be time to ask someone to help you figure out how to manage those fears and anxieties, because you shouldn't have to live like that. We want you to live the life that you feel is safe and appropriate, and not one that's just dictated by your fears or anxieties.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Dr. Falk. This has been really helpful.
Oh, good.
Thanks again.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Avital Falk is the program director for the Intensive Treatment Program for OCD and Anxiety at the New York Presbyterian Youth Anxiety Center. She is also the director of the Pediatric OCD, Anxiety, and Tic Disorders Program, and an assistant professor of psychology and clinical psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medicine. You can learn more about New York Presbyterian's Behavioral Health Program at nyp.org/psychiatry. I'm Courtney Allison, your host. This episode was produced by Andrea Wu and Ben Chug. Sharon Cotlier is our executive producer. For more stories on science, care, and wellness, visit healthmatters.nyp.org.